Manhood and Christ-likeness are synonymous. Why does this affect us? You're about to find out. Welcome to the Man Church Podcast. On today's episode, we're going to be talking to Mike Matthews about his life, really. And so today, I'm excited to have Mike Matthews on the podcast today. He's a member of Powerhouse Church. He's been with us how many years, Mike?
It's 2021, so nine years
at Powerhouse Church. Yep. Yeah, so we've gotten to really get to know you and been doing life with you, watch your kids grow up here. And it's been really cool to watch that. And I was telling Pastor Anthony that for Veterans Day, I was like, it would be great to have Mike Matthews on the podcast. And that's kind of what we're doing today. We're celebrating Veterans Day. You're a veteran. I had the opportunity of going to lunch with you one day with a group of guys from Africa. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember.
And you began to share your story at the table, and I was just blown away. Mm-hmm. Even though I'd known you for so many years, I really hadn't heard your full story.
Right.
And so as we get started today, I just want to kind of open up with that. If you just kind of take some time and tell the audience your story, who you are, and what happened to you.
Yeah. So like Pastor Robert said, my name is Michael Matthews, originally born in Opelousas, Louisiana. Raised in Houston, right out of high school, joined the military, not really by my own choice, kind of made some stupid decisions. And, you know, my dad was like, this is the best thing for you. So I joined.
Me too.
Yeah, I know, right? And it ended up being like the best decision I've ever made. And so, you know, of course, during that time, this was around 1999, you know, things were going off. 2001, the bombing of the World Trade Center with the airplanes. And, you know, we got the call to go to Iraq and Afghanistan. And, you know, from there, I knew that everything was going to be different. And so my first deployment, I got injured. It wasn't bad. You know, breaching a building, got shot, took some Motrin. For those of you who are in the military, you know what I mean. Took some Motrin, rested, and, you know, was back on the battlefield. Couple more deployments, and then my last deployment in 2008, we were on a night mission, and we came back in only to find out that we had to go right back out. And, you know, my crew and team, we were really tired, but they were like, look, mission first. Went out, and probably about 2 hours in, we were ambushed. It was a convoy of 47 vehicles, the first and last vehicle, mine being the last vehicle. They were ambushed, and they were hit. By IEDs and sniper rounds, and I ended up taking a sniper round. The first one was to the throat and didn't even know it, continued to fight. The second one was to the head. It hit the vehicle, came through the vehicle and hit me in my head, didn't know it, continued to fight. And then the vehicle was hit by IED, and that IED ended up taking out the whole team, all five of us that was in the vehicle. I sustained injuries to the chest, the left arm, the right arm. I broke my humerus in three different places, dislocated, and my shoulder had a blast that went through my right side, out my back. Sustained shrapnel wounds to my left leg and my stomach, and it put me in the hospital for just over 9.5 months. And, you know, the first 14 days of me being in the hospital, I was in a coma. So I didn't even know what had happened, what was going on. The last thing I remembered was standing over the vehicle, you know, fighting. And when I woke up, it was a sense of relief, but it was also, I was very scared because I didn't know what was going to come after that. So, you know, it kind of changed after that, you know.
What about your guys? I mean, everybody in the Humvee with you, did they make it? Did they not make it?
Besides myself, we had a gentleman, Clark. He lost his right arm and I believe like a tip of his right ear. Mm-hmm. And then we also had another gentleman who, unfortunately, he ended up passing away because of his injuries. They were too severe. But the remaining three guys, they all survived.
They all survived.
Yeah.
All
right. Wow. So, yeah.
Yeah, so you're in the hospital now and you're recovering and mm-hmm. you're having to deal with all the trauma and the stress of just going through that.
Right.
So pick it up from there. Like what happened? Did you continue in service or did you know.
Oh, I did. It's funny because a lot of people didn't even know, like the first 3 or 4 years I was here at Powerhouse, I was still in the military. They just assumed because I was here mostly every Sunday that I was no longer in, but I was still in. And so, you know, I stayed in the military till 2014. I tried my best to extend it, but mentally I was drained. I was done. Physically, I think I could have probably, you know, stayed a couple more years, but mentally I was just done. I just, you know, didn't want to do it anymore.
And were you a Christian when you were in the military and going through that? Would you say you were a believer, a Christian, following God?
Definitely. That's another thing. My dad is a pastor. He's been a pastor since I was 2. And so during the deployments and things of like just the military and all, my dad is also prior military. I would lean on him, you know, with scripture. He would, you know, pray for me, talk to me, you know, just send me different things to kind of keep me motivated, but most importantly, keep me intact with my relationship with Christ. So it played a huge part. I will say this, like a lot of people who go through things like that, it's always questionable, like, you know, how could this happen? God, you love me, why this? For me, it was never like that. It was always like, okay, I'm alive, I'm here. Yeah, I know God's real. I know he's here for me. So I just got to keep going forward.
So you'd say that you really didn't, you know, going through that, did it shake your faith? Did it strengthen your faith? What would you say?
A little bit of both. It strengthened my faith because it allowed me to see that, most importantly, like, yes, there is a God, because the things that I went through, most people won't survive. And I'm here. I have all my limbs. I'm able to talk. I'm able to walk right and do all of these different things. But it also shook it because at the same time, I was kind of like, I'm here, but why did you let me live when other people are gone or other people had these things that they can't come back from? Why am I here? And so it made me question a lot of things, but it never got to the point where I was just like, you know what, God, I give up. I never got to that point. I did, you know, at moments have times where I was like, you know, really thinking hard about it, really like, come on, God, help me out. Like, I'm lost, I'm struggling, but it never got to the point where I was like, you know what, I give up. There's no God, I don't, whatever. I never got to that point. Now, I never will.
So going through something like that, like, I know a lot of guys are listening on the call, you know, maybe there's some veterans listening on the call that, or on the podcast, I should say, not the call, but that have been through something similar or worse or whatever. But there's a lot of guys that have never gone through something that traumatic, right? That like, you're waking up in a hospital 14 days later, you're like wondering where you are. So like, what did that do to you when you return back and you're married, you've got children? Oh, how did that affect your ability to be a man and to be a godly man, really, and to continue to do that? Did it affect it? How did that work?
It affected it in the matter that, you know, that I saw things differently than like a lot of other people. I saw things, it was like, you know, I would look at things and be like, I shouldn't be here and enjoying this, but I'm here. So let me enjoy it. Let me embrace it. Let me do this. And, you know, with the kids, especially with the kids, like I just shared this not too long ago. There are a lot of times where my kids want to do things and I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. But I do it because I know it's going to bring them enjoyment, not me. Like, I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for them so that they don't have to suffer, you know. Because my kids, they know that I was injured. They just don't know the full story. And eventually I'll share it and I'll, you know, let them ask questions and things. But I think now, like, my purpose as a dad is to be a dad, be a father, you know, take care of them, not necessarily them take care of me and worry about me. And so it affected it. But it also gave me clarity of what my purpose of being here is, you know, the importance of me being here, the importance of having a father in the home and things like that. Not saying that my wife couldn't do it on her own, but I knew if I survived through all of that, you know, my kids needed me here and I had to be here.
Yeah. I think what I catch from what you're saying is this level of, or this, this sense of gratefulness,
right?
You know, and sometimes we can have a tough situation, mm-hmm. but if you hang around long enough, you'll hear somebody else that had a tougher situation.
Right.
And we can lose sight of, you know, we can lose sight of gratefulness because we're so focused on our circumstance and what we went through or what somebody did or didn't do to us. And I think that it's important. I think as you're talking and you're sharing, you know, your story of what you went through and how that shifted your perspective towards family and towards your life.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that men that are listening to the podcast, you know, I think we sometimes it's good to do an inventory and to say, man, I'm here. I've got breath in my lungs. I should be engaged. I should try to engage with my family and be a better father, be a better husband. Yeah. And that I think that's important, you know.
Yeah.
So you do a lot of work now helping veterans.
I do.
Talk a little bit about that.
All right. So I think one of the biggest things that I do, I was just sharing this. I go around the country and I speak on behalf of the Wounded Warrior Project. And so, you know, I go and I get to share my story, which also includes Powerhouse. And I get to share some of the things that I get to do on a day-to-day basis and, you know, get to share my recovery and where I am now. I also am the commander for the military at the Purple Heart chapter here in Katy. I help with the food drive here at Powerhouse. I serve the homeless any chance I get downtown Houston. Now Katy as well, because a lot of homelessness is coming to Katy. What else? I give back with an organization called The Mission Continues, where we go and we help refurbish buildings and, you know, schools and things like that. Different companies and organizations that help serve the veteran community. We do that once or twice a month. So I'm heavily involved. I think my biggest thing out of all of that is just making sure that the veterans can get to a place to where I'm still recovering. I'm still getting better. But I think that the biggest mistake we can make as a veteran is getting out and then thinking that our service is over, thinking that we're done, like there's nothing else for us to live for, nothing else for us to go on for. And so I like to get out and I like to help veterans understand their purpose, understand their why, you know, why am I still here? Why didn't this happen? Or why did I come back here versus there? And, you know, things like that. And so I love doing it. You know, we help a lot of people throughout the country. We help a lot of people throughout the city of Houston. And so it's just another way for me to
That's good. Get back. Yeah. Yeah, so purpose, you know, purpose is important for a man.
Right.
Pastor GF will always say, purpose identified produces passion.
Right.
And so when we've lost our passion, you can always trace it back to the place where we've lost our purpose and what we're supposed to do. I even heard a gentleman, he's gone on to be with the Lord, but Rob Carman, I've never really done the research on this, but he used to talk about retirement and how retirement was something that was developed by Nazi Germany, is what he would say.
Right.
I've never studied this out, but I'm going to say it anyway. But in essence, you know, if you look at retirement where you're just done,
right,
it pulls the purpose from a man and it causes him to want to just sit and then wait to exit the world.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I really feel like even if you've retired from the military, there's more to do. There's a lot of purpose outside of that and, you know, connecting to that. And I think men, as they get older, retire from companies, you know, even if they've been men that have been serving God for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and they feel like, well, you know, I'm older now, but we need that wisdom. We need them to speak into the younger generation.
Right.
To teach and to connect to the younger generation. So I think it's important that whether you're a veteran or just a man, if you're feeling unfulfilled and you're feeling like you've been dealt a bad hand or something, I think that the beginning is finding a place where you can go and find purpose.
Right.
What is it that God wants you to do? What is it that God's put in you that you can offer the next generation, you know, mentor a young kid, help the homeless, help, you know, get connected to something that produces purpose, and you'll find that the passion will come back into your life.
Most definitely.
And when that comes back, everything gets better, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, because I tell veterans all the time, especially ones that are retired, And they're like, well, I don't know what to do now. I'm retired. And I'm like, well, your military service is just your training for what you're scheduled to do now. That's all it is. You know, if you're a cook in the military, it only fueled and, you know, built that passion to maybe go out and be a chef, to open a restaurant, to do something like that. If you're a infantryman like I was for a little bit of time in the military, you know, working with certain things, hand-to-hand combat, weapons, things, that should only help fuel your passion for what you're going to do when you get out, whether it be a police officer, a security agent, whatever it may be. And so for most of the people I've learned is that when they get out, the people that they expect to give them purpose or to tell them what their purpose is, they're nowhere to be found because they're just as lost as they are. And I encourage everybody, go out and do something small. When I first came to Powerhouse, I would just open the doors. I was a greeter. And then I was asked, hey, would you like to help, you know, with the security team? Okay, sure. Would you like to do this? Go to Jordan Ranch? Sure. And then as time went on, I just kind of grew and grew, and it just fueled everything that I do now. Because when I first came to Powerhouse, I wasn't doing anything, like no service whatsoever. I was still in the military. I treated it like a job, 9 to 5, because I worked Monday through Fridays, and that was it. I went home and then I just watched TV. I just hung out. It wasn't nothing. I didn't want to do anything or be around other people. But the more I got involved, the more the passion came back. The same passion and desire that I had for the military came back, but on the civilian side.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. So as you're helping veterans through like the Purple Heart program that you're in, the Wounded Warrior Project, wouldn't you say that you really act as a mentor? And as a mentor to another veteran coming through. And I love that because, you know, here at Powerhouse, we're big about mentoring.
Right.
I believe it's beyond just even if you're not a veteran, I believe that you should be around a group of men where you could find somebody that's a little ahead of you.
Right.
That can speak into your life. But you have to give them permission to do that.
Exactly.
And really, that trust and that permission is really earned.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes time to do that.
Yeah.
So what would you tell, you know, whether it be a veteran or a man that's kind of on the fringe, they're frustrated, they don't really have anybody in their life, they're kind of trying to wing it, do it on their own. What advice do you give those guys?
First and most important thing is talk to God. Open up, you know, repent. If it's something that you need to repent for, but get on your knees and talk to God and let him allow you to see the direction that you need to go in. Like who you be. Because one of the things that I learned early on is if you go out seeking somebody to mentor you or to teach you or to help you, you're going to be lost. But if you like visibly just wait and be patient until when they come, they're going to take you farther than you ever thought that you could go. And so that would be the most important thing. The second thing is once you actually get that person in your life, don't mess it up. We have a tendency, especially as men, to get comfortable with somebody, like another man, and be like, oh, you know, I really like him. I really like his vibe and everything. But then screw it up by saying, you know what? He knows too much. Let me back away. Let me not share anymore. Let me do something to kind of mess it up. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Then I think the third thing would be, is when you open up, make sure that you're being truthful. Make sure that you're actually opening up to receive help, to receive guidance, to receive the leadership or the mentorship that you desire. Because there's another thing. Sometimes we have a tendency to open up and we'll share certain bits and pieces. But then when the feedback comes, we're like, you know what? No, I don't agree with that. So let me just stop. I won't say anything else.
Yeah, that's why somebody I've heard people say that if you're looking for someone, or when you find and connect with someone, you're basically giving that person permission to speak into your life.
Yeah.
And so you got to take it all. You got to take the accolades and you got to take the correction.
Yep.
And so that's why you should wait and be sure of who that person is.
Yeah.
It can't just be anybody.
Yeah.
It's got to be somebody. And I think you're right. If we were to pray about that and really seek God about that, then he'd bring us the right person.
Right.
And we'd do that. There's also the saying that everybody, like, you know, like a father. Everybody wants a father till you get a father.
Exactly. Yep. Yep.
Because everybody, they want the pat on the back, but then they don't want dad to come in and say, hey, yeah, you need to stop doing that, or that's going to hurt you.
They want the praise, not the punishment.
Right. Yep. And yep. So it's important to know, like, when you find that relationship, I know I have that relationship in my life, and I was just sharing the other night about how in my relationship with Pastor GF, you know, there's been mm-hmm. times that there's been times that I need to hear, hey, you're doing a good job.
Right.
Hey, you're doing everything you can do. Don't quit. You're doing fine. Even though my circumstance is a mess.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. you're in the middle of the battle and somebody's coming and saying, hey, we're going to win this. Yep. We can still win this. And then, but there's other times where I've been a knucklehead and said some things, you know. I specifically remember one time being short with my wife on the phone in front of him.
Oh.
Woo.
Yeah.
And he came back at me and said, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, what? And you need somebody to kind of confront you
right.
when you're wrong.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're wrong. And that's why I love the work that you do. I love the connection with men. I love being real. Mm-hmm. We always say, you know, our mission at the church is transforming lives that transform the world. And so that means that we know that if we have an encounter with Jesus,
right,
my life will be transformed. And I know that because everyone that came into contact with him in the Bible was transformed and changed.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Except for the ones that pulled away.
Yeah.
And so I also have learned that there can be no transformation without transparency.
Right.
And so the key to my life transforming is yeah. me being transparent.
Yeah.
And so I would tell every man listening on the call today, listen, I don't know what situation you're in. I don't know what you've been through, but I'm sitting across a guy that's been through something pretty horrific. And I'm sure there's men listening out there that have been through similar things like you. And maybe your situation is not quite that. That ought to give us hope and say, you know what? I'm here. I'm making it through. I came across, you know, whether you've been divorced, whether you've gone through something traumatic, maybe you just got out of prison. Maybe, mm-hmm. you know, you've just messed up a relationship. Or maybe you've been in a coma for 14 days. I don't know. But the message is that there's hope. And that you don't have to walk through that alone. But there's a process to get there. And you have to pray. You have to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, show me. Give me someone in my life that I can trust, that I can be transparent with. And in your transparency, there'll be transformation. And in your transformation, it'll lead you to freedom. So, thanks for listening. Listen, you guys are great. Thank you for being on the podcast today, Mike.
We
love it. Happy Veterans Day to everybody listening today. If you know some veterans, you know, thank them for their service, and God bless you. Thanks for listening. If you're hungry for more, catch up on our previous episodes by searching Man Church on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. To watch this episode on YouTube, go to Powerhouse Church's YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a comment and review so more men can find these episodes. To learn more on why manhood and Christlikeness are synonymous, go to manchurchinternational.com. See you on the next episode.